Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey guys, it's Grant Paulson. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We're changing things up. We're going to be making the show available for you 1 hour at a time. So if you're looking for a specific part of the hour of a show, look below at the description of what we've been talking about for time cues.
It's Danny. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you live on the radio from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. weekdays on 106.7 The Fan.
Time to go blitzing. We will start your spin around the Beltway with the Redskins. Craig Hoffman is our Redskins beat reporter, joins us now. Craig, what's your take on the Redskins' decision as to whether or not to shut down some of their injured players with no playoff implications, really, at least for the next couple of weekends, unless a lot changes?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense for a couple of guys to me. I don't think there's really a reason for Trent Williams to keep playing. I don't know that there's a real reason for Jordan Reed to continue working towards coming back. Every day that you miss because you rehab, every day you miss of your offseason program is a day you're not getting better. And whether it's for a guy like Trent, you got to work to maintain his size, his bulk, and there's a certain kind of working out that you have to do for that. And in order for him to be able to do that, he's got to rehab first. So every day of rehab is a day away from your offseason program. And so for guys like that, I think that I'd want to start the clock. And obviously for anyone who needs surgery, I would want to start the clock and get that over with. For other guys, though, you do want to be able to put a competitive team on the field to be able to do the evaluating you want to do over the next four games and not put other players, namely the quarterback, at risk. So a guy like Morgan Moses, if he can play and doesn't need any kind of surgery, just needs a little time off, he can get his time off in 4 weeks, and I'd probably keep him on the field.
For the game this weekend, this is a good pass rush. In fact, it's a great pass rush. They got bookends. It's Bosa and Ingram. We know the names. They're a-coming. How do you deal with it? How do you make sure that a guy like Kirk doesn't get sandwiched back there and then change the course of the franchise for a long time?
Yeah, if you were the praying type, I'd probably start by praying because they're gross, man. Pro Football Focus, and we can argue about how good their grades are, but they're ranked 1 and 2 as pass rushers in the league, according to Pro Football Focus. And I don't know if they're the best two, but they're really close. So I think, one, run the ball. You can't get your quarterback sacked if he doesn't have the football. So you got to try to establish the run. Let your linemen come off and try to hit those guys as opposed to constantly being on their heels. Two, you got to hope Trent's ready to play since they're not going to shut him down. Obviously, keeping him on the field is going to be a much better option than anything else. And if Ty Nsekhe's going to play right tackle, if Morgan's out, then you better hope it looks way better than it did last week. If not, you're going to have to provide him with a ton of help, but your help's not even as good as it used to be. A guy like Samaje Perine, while he's getting better every week, is still not the pass protector Chris Thompson, say, was. And so there was even a play last week where he essentially caused Ty Nsekhe to give up a sack by setting a pick on him. So you got to be extremely disciplined in how you execute the plan, and I think the plan has to be to give those guys as much help as possible.
What do you think needs to be evaluated more than anything else on the defensive side of the ball the rest of this season?
That's a really good question. I think the D-line, you're trying to figure out who you're really wanting to keep moving forward. Obviously, Allen and Ioannidis are going to be your two starters there moving forward, but do you need to invest in another playmaker type, or do you feel like if those two are healthy, do you roll with some of the guys that you have? You know, is Anthony Lanier a part of your future? You know, what do you do with Stacy McGee? Which Terrell McClain's obviously hurt right now, but you signed him to a longer contract. Is that a financial bullet you think about eating depending on what, how these other guys play? So there's some decisions to be made there. If you can get Monte Nicholson back and keep him healthy, I think that'd be huge. I think seeing what you have in DeShazer Everett, how comfortable do you feel with your safety depth? And then I think at this point they probably know exactly what their price is going to be on Bashaud Breeland. You have a decision to make with him, with Norman. I think there might be an out in his contract. So there's some decisions you have to make. But I honestly, for as crazy as it is, I don't think you have a lot of decisions to make on that side of the ball, because a lot of your problems there, you can draw back to injury. And the guys that you have to make big decisions on, Zach Brown, you kind of, I think, understand what you have in him at this point. Mason Foster, Will Compton, they're both out and not coming back. So I don't know how much you have to see on the field on that side of the ball. I think a lot of the decision-making process at this point is really in the front office.
The very in-shape Craig Hoffman is with us on the Beltway Blitz talking Redskins. Craig, my last one for you. Ryan Anderson tweeted, patience. I'm starting to run out of it. I want something. I need to see my second-round impact players be second-round type impact players. He's kind of lost in the shuffle at this point. Where are we at on him going forward?
You better hope that he does a lot of learning in the offseason. This just, it was, I don't want to say it's a lost year, because I think, you know, like, look at the ultimate example currently would be Jared Goff. He was arguably the worst rookie quarterback ever last year and has turned into an exceptional player in year two. Obviously, the coaching regime change there had a lot to do with that. But, you know, adjusting to the speed of the game, then having some offseason time to really understand what you need to do to prepare and really understand kind of what your job is going to be, and you hope that he makes a leap next year. For this year, I would play him a little bit more. I would see what I have there. I think, by the way, in answer to your last question, too, kind of goes in line with this, I would see what you have in Junior Gallette with a bigger snap count. I don't want to know exactly what I have in him. Is he a guy that's always going to be a 30-snap guy, or how does he hold up with 50? So maybe there's a decision. But I think Anderson needs to play more, too. Like, you know what Ryan Kerrigan is at this point. I would give Anderson a lot more reps, see what he can do. He hasn't shown that he can get any kind of pass rush, be an effective run player. He really hasn't shown anything defensively. He's had a couple of nice hits on special teams, hooray. But at this point, reps is the most important thing for him, so he can kind of understand what he needs to work on this offseason.
Craig, thank you, buddy.
You got it. See you guys.
By the way, NFL note before we get to hockey, George Iloka of the Bengals has won his appeal with the league.
Correctly, I think.
He will not be suspended. That was a football play, and it just happened on a night where it made it look worse. So good job by the NFL. Let's talk some hockey. National TV tonight, Caps, Blackhawks, always a fun rivalry. Chicago comes in limping, though. Losers of four in a row. Last time we saw the Caps, they were getting an impressive win over the Sharks, 4-1. Tom, Chicago, they just aren't the same team, huh?
Yeah, but the Caps are catching them at a good time, where Corey Crawford, their number one goaltender, has been on the IR since the start of December, and they're going to be facing Anton Forsberg, who right now has a 9-10 save percentage, so he will give them opportunities. So the Caps are catching them at a good time, but my concern is the fact that TJ Oshie will not play, and the Blackhawks are a team that comfortably, very comfortably rolls three scoring lines, especially with their third line featuring Alex DeBrincat. There's going to be a lot going on, and having TJ Oshie out will only hurt the Caps.
How are they going to deal with it? No Oshie. Reshuffled lines, I imagine?
Yeah, they're going to reshuffle the lines. It looks like Chason's going to be in a bigger role. Chandler Stephenson, Barry Trotz this morning on the Junkie said that Chandler Stephenson would be back in the lineup. So I'm assuming that they're going to try to even it out as closely as possible, especially with how well Travis Boyd played against the Sharks in his NHL debut. He took on, I believe, about 7.5 minutes in total, which is usually more minutes than what you'll see from a guy starting in his first game. So, yeah, I would like to see them get down in the dirt with the Blackhawks, but it's going to be one of these games that I think you could probably win 3-2.
Five of their last six have been wins for the Caps. They're 11-5 since the start of November. Seems like all the concern about them regressing to being bad was overstated.
Yeah, I think that me, especially on Crashing the Net, which is, of course, tonight at 6:30, taking you all the way up to the Caps radio broadcast, I pushed the panic button a little too soon. I pulled what I like to call a Danny Ruye.
Yes, it's tried and true method.
Or is it a Rauer?
Danny Rauer,
it's
sure.
A cousin
that
Chase
might be
Ruye.
A Rauer, yeah.
But yeah, I'm kind of eating some crow now based on the fact that they're, you know, 6-4 in their last 10, 11-5 since November. They're having a nice streak, and hopefully they'll keep it up.
Thank you, Tommy. Tonight, 6:30 p.m. for how long?
All the way up till 7:45 in the Caps Radio Network.
There you go.
An evening of Caps hockey for the puckheads out there on 106.7 The Fan. Grant and Danny with you. That is your Beltway Blitz. Dar came into our little studio. For those of you that don't know, there's two different rooms here. Tom and Dar sit in one, separated by glass. We sit in another.
Yep.
He came in here during the break, and he said, hey, you seen what Dan Patrick said?
He umsoed us big time on
Redskins
that.
Receivers and their thoughts on Kirk Cousins? We said, no. He said, that's some audio you might want to hear. We have not listened to it yet.
We're going
to
hear it for the first time.
We will hear it and react for the first time on the show next on Grant and Danny. Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Apparently, Dan Patrick floated a rumor on his show about Kirk Cousins and the Redskins and the relationship or the opinion that Redskins players have on Kirk Cousins. Have not heard the audio yet, so I can't describe it that well, so we'll just play it for you purposefully. Dar came in about an hour ago, said, hey, have you heard this? We said, no. We didn't want to listen to it until on the air, so we will listen to it with you for the first time.
We'll do it live.
You know, I did a little research about the whole Kirk Cousins situation and what Marshall Faulk and Steve Smith seen.
What's his name?
You said Kirk. Should I get mad about that yet or not?
No, I think we're okay so far. Because it's a slip when people aren't focused on overpronouncing the K.
I already know what this is now, by the way. Because he's got a relationship with Marshall Faulk. So I already can tell what this is. This is a Marshall Faulk said something stupid. Kirk Cousins came back and said that they were looking for ratings or whatever he said on our show. Now he did some research, I guess.
Some research.
And trusted beat reporter Dan Patrick. All right, continue.
You know, I did a little research about the whole Kirk Cousins situation and what Marshall Faulk and Steve Smith Sr. were saying about Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is not well liked by his wide receivers. Not at all. So the behind-the-scenes intel is... they're not big Kirk Cousins fans. I don't know what that means for Kirk Cousins staying in Washington, but I get the feeling now with the season over that Kirk Cousins is probably surveying the landscape saying, you know, Jacksonville might be a good place for me to go.
That was six Paul. Kurtz.
How do you think he feels about his wide receivers dropping all his passes?
Yeah, but, let's stop but they it were there. A group.
Let's stop it there. He said Kurt six times. While... speculating that he's heard behind the scenes, is that right?
Yeah. That they don't like him.
Which receivers don't like him? Ryan Grant? Should I care about his opinion? Maurice Harris? Well, if Maurice Harris isn't happy playing with Kirk Cousins, we got a big problem. Because those are the guys he's throwing through this past week.
So I bet you, by the way, that the answer, there is somebody that I bet you doesn't like him. I bet you there's one guy that doesn't like him.
Is he healthy right now?
I bet you he's not healthy right now. I bet you he's a guy that's been shut down.
I don't even want to do that to Terrell Pryor because I'm not going to put words in. I don't want to make him the bad guy.
Oh, because we're speculating.
But
Steve,
does Dan Patrick have a number and he's just going to text Terrell Pryor? I doubt it. It could be somebody's agent. I'm sure Terrell Pryor's agent or someone could go out and say, my client would have done better had he thrown him the ball or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the receivers the Redskins have right now. A kid in Josh Doctson, who's not going to be bashing a quarterback, I wouldn't think. And frankly, if Josh Doctson is bashing Kirk Cousins to Dan Patrick or through his agent, or if he's the culprit, if you will, he can kick rocks. You've caught 24 balls this year and 26 balls in your career. I love you. I think you're going to be really good. I think you got great skills and big-time game. But if he's the one bashing him, I'm supposed to care what Josh Doctson, who's been in the league for 3 weeks, thinks? No, thank you. Okay, so it's not him. So is it Jamison Crowder? Hold on to the football, dude. By the way, Jamison Crowder and Kirk Cousins, to my knowledge, knowing both of those guys a little bit, have a very good relationship. So I would assume pretty comfortably that it's not Jamison Crowder, mm-hmm. unless he's the most two-faced guy ever. Because my conversations with him at Redskins Park, and what I know about Jamison Crowder is that he's a Kirk Cousins guy. So let's assume it's not him. So is it Ryan Grant? You want me to care what Ryan Grant thinks about the quarterback position with the Washington Redskins? There are 333 guys like Ryan Grant in the NFL.
If anything comes out from Ryan Grant, leaked or otherwise, it's not, thank you, oh my God, I'm so lucky to be here. Thank you, I'm so lucky to be here. I'm so lucky to be here. I'm so lucky to be here. If it's anything other than that, then I'm furious.
So, but this is why it's comical to me. Like, Dan Patrick is going to text Ryan Grant or Maurice Harris. Those are the Redskins receivers. Who's saying this? Brian Quick? Is that your source? So you've got one high-profile player in the locker room at the position, Terrell Pryor, who was by far the worst player on the team at the position this year. You've got one player who's pretty good in Jamison Crowder, who, by all accounts, is a very big Kirk Cousins fan.
Now, this is last year where we heard those rumblings. Remember, it was after a couple weeks when they were struggling.
Deshaun Jackson, who's a malcontent who hates everybody who throws to him, is angry when he's not catching the football. Fine.
Yeah, Pierre's upset. Well, Pierre's always upset.
Garçon demanded a trade 3 weeks into the season.
Yeah, he's always upset.
He's going to be pissed off. That's a diva. I love Pierre Garçon. He's my favorite Redskin. He's your prototypical wide receiver who wants the football. And that's coming from someone who would buy a Pierre Garçon jersey tomorrow if I wore jerseys. I love the guy. Of course he's not going to like Kirk Cousins when the Redskins are going 8-8 and 7-9 and 9-7. That's the kind of guys we're talking about. High profile, high paid, give me the football wide receivers. What they've got now is practice squad Maurice Harris and back of the roster Ryan Grant and Brian Quick, who may or may not catch 10 balls in the league again. And Maurice, it's a bunch of guys that don't have opinions or frankly shouldn't have opinions.
You don't get to have an opinion yet. You don't get a seat at the table.
So I'm going to get to the rest of this, but play the beginning of this again just when he starts talking about what I've heard about the receiver. The receivers don't like him. Whose opinion in the receiving room should matter at all?
You know, I did a little research about the whole Kirk Cousins situation and what Marshall Faulk and Steve Smith Sr. were saying about Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is not well-liked by his wide receivers. Not at all. So the behind-the-scenes intel is they're not big Kirk Cousins fans. I don't know what that means for Kirk Cousins staying in Washington, but I get the feeling now with the season over that Kirk Cousins is probably surveying the landscape saying, you know, Jacksonville might be a good place for me to go. Yes, Paulie.
How do you think he feels about his wide receivers dropping all his passes?
Yeah, but they're a group.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one guy versus a group. Now, granted, Kirk Cousins more valuable than these guys, but I was told that over the weekend because I was like, what's the deal? Like, Kirk Cousins has to go to Jamison Crowder and put his arm around him? The best way to say I believe in you is when I go back to you. Not if I put my arm around you. I mean, it's tough love. It's the NFL. Am I supposed to go there and console you? Yes, McLovin.
That is so weird that there's dysfunction in the Washington Redskins locker room.
I know.
Never would have seen that coming.
Yeah. I think that they're talking behind Kirk Cousins'
Funny.
Back big time with members of the media.
So there's a lot to take out of that.
So you know who's talking? Basically, here's what I think. It just hit me, Danny. It just hit me. I want you to say whatever you're going to say, but let me say this real
quick.
Go
ahead, sure.
He talked to Marshall Faulk,
and
he talked to Steve Smith.
Yeah.
And they talked to someone. So either they talked to Deshaun or Pierre, last year's receivers, or they talked maybe to Terrell Pryor.
Yeah, listen.
They ain't talking to Maurice Harris, Ryan Grant, Jamison Crowder.
And let's say they are. It's a game of telephone. So if I'm an agent who represents any of the Redskins' wide receivers, any of them, I'm going, my guy can't get paid because we're not getting the football. It's just the nature, A, the nature of this offense, B, the nature of the fact that none of my clients are any good, regardless of who you represent in that wide receiver meeting room. Nobody is exceptional at this point. Some guys have potential, some guys don't. Some guys are, just, again, lucky to be in the room. We're dissatisfied because we're not getting looks. There are guys who are just crappy on great offenses that are going to catch 50 balls and get paid simply because that's the nature of the offense. The nature of this one is the ball gets spread around. Cousins is a point guard. Jay Gruden's system allots that. If there's an A.J. Green, it'll change. There ain't one. So what you do is you spread it around to whoever's open. There's no extra pride there, right? So I'm sure that somebody's going, hey, I wish my guy was catching more passes, which then goes to Marshall Faulk or whomever, and it fits their narrative of Cousins isn't a leader, so now guys don't like Kirk or they're dissatisfied with him. If that's true, let's say for the sake of argument that somebody in that room is, quote, angry at Kirk or doesn't like Kirk. And it's Kirk, by the way, not Kurt. I don't know if that's a point of emphasis. If someone actually feels this way, I would love to know who, and I would love to have them publicly shamed. Because you don't get to say this. Deshaun does, by the way. Productive, excellent player.
But
Pierre
my
Garçon
point is,
does too.
He didn't say, like, the current wide receivers say. He said the receivers don't like him. I think it could absolutely be as simple. I don't get the sense Dan Patrick's doing a lot of investigative journalism contacting the agents of current Redskins. He's probably got bigger fish to fry. I think he hit up probably Steve Smith or Marshall Faulk and going, what's going on?
Yeah, or an agent or somebody.
Yeah, and they said, oh, dude, you don't get it. Like, we talked to so-and-so this past week, and he doesn't think that guy's good. And Dan goes, oh, okay, I got you. Or, yeah, we talked to one of the receivers, and That whole room doesn't like him. Could or couldn't be true. Who knows? But the point is, A, their current receivers, one of them is a good NFL football player that's above average that would start on several teams. That's Jamison Crowder. The other are mostly lucky to be there. If you think Josh Doctson, who again, has 26 career NFL catches, is spreading negative reports on Kirk Cousins, I think you're dramatically mistaken. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. Your reaction to Dan Patrick, who called Kirk Cousins Kurt six times while divulging this behind-the-scenes information that he, quote, researched, end quote.
We all make mistakes in life, like calling Kirk Kurt. That's a mistake. I made a mistake so many years eating things that weren't very good for me, GP. We just had a food drop from our friends at EMP 180. Weight loss, delicious, healthy recipes. That's what it proves. It proves that you can eat well, lose the unwanted body fat, and still live a fun, full lifestyle. These guys are great. We love them. Give them a call and change your life.
EMP180weightloss.com. Just ate delicious chili, buffalo cauliflower, turkey meatballs.
Turkey meatballs.
Had a great spread. I am full. I am content. I am happy. I had a delicious lunch today. EMP 180 Weight Loss approved. You can eat good food and be healthy. They've taught us that.
You got to give them a call. 855-888-0180. That's 855-888-0180. Or EMP180weightloss.com. Give them a shout. Schedule a consultation today and change your life.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Fan, welcome back, and thanks a ton for listening to the show. As always, Dan Patrick says that he's done some research, whatever that means, and that he's found out that the receivers do not like Kirk Cousins, which could be correct, I guess. I don't know Kirk Cousins, so maybe some guy came into Redskins Park and stole their stuff or something. Here was Dan Patrick on his show. We've got this audio, and I want to hear what you guys think about this at 800-636-1067. But here's what he had to say. I think this was yesterday. I don't think it was today.
You know, I did a little research about the whole Kirk Cousins situation and what Marshall Faulk and Steve Smith Sr. were saying about Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is not well liked by his wide receivers. Not at all. So the behind-the-scenes intel is they're not big Kirk Cousins fans. I don't know what that means for Kirk Cousins staying in Washington, but I get the feeling now with the season over that Kirk Cousins is probably surveying the landscape saying, you know, Jacksonville might be a good place for me to go. Yes, Paulie.
How do you think he feels about his wide receivers dropping
all
his passes?
Things about the Redskins being dysfunctional. So that doesn't matter as much. 800-636-1067.
So let's say for the sake of argument that it's true. Let's say that this terrible group of inadequate players doesn't like Kirk Cousins. Good. I hope you don't. I hope you hate his guts because he's trying to get more out of you. I hope you go somewhere else and fail and realize how good you've got it here with an offensive scheme that gets you open. And you don't produce. I don't care when a group that's bad goes, oh, we really love this defensive coordinator. I don't want a group that finishes 31st to tell me how much they like Joe Barry. You don't get a voice anymore. If you're excellent and you stand up for a guy, I'll listen to you. This group sucks. This group is not okay. The only guy in that room that I would say, I'd like to hear what you think, Jamison Crowder. Everybody else, so fortunate to be included. If any of these other guys were on another roster, they would be buried behind adequate, proper NFL players that produce week in and week out in the NFL. I don't care what they think.
Well, and for me, while I think that that is part of the point, I can't possibly, for even a minute, start to divulge much time and energy and effort into their opinions and how much they matter without first saying that
this doesn't make any sense to me. Like, this is a guy who has relationship with Marshall Faulk, who's on his show a bunch, I believe, and who may or may not have just talked to Marshall Faulk. Hey, why'd you say that? What is this about? Oh, man, I've heard this. Okay, cool. Great. I talk to people at Redskins Park all the time, too. I'll stick with what I hear. And you guys can stick with what you hear. I don't know who your sources are. Roll with them if you want to. I got no problem with that. I'm going to tell you that I think Ryan Grant is happy playing with Kirk Cousins. I think Maurice Harris and Josh Doctson and Jamison Crowder are happy playing with Kirk Cousins. And it would be, to me, more interesting if they paid someone $12 million a year as a number one wide receiver who wasn't happy working with Kirk Cousins. That, to me, would be more interesting, and I would care a lot more about that than what the guy who just got plucked off the practice squad, or the guy who's a fifth wide receiver on good NFL teams, or the guy who is going to not be on the roster next year, Brian Quick, or a guy in Terrell Pryor who dropped everything that was thrown to him.
I mean, I guarantee you there's frustration. I'm sure there is. I'm sure there's frustration.
You're not winning.
Yeah, and again, you're not getting the football. I get that. I get how that can, via game of telephone, go to Faulk or go to Patrick or go to somebody and say, hey, I'm complaining, I'm not getting the ball, and that turns into, I don't like Kirk Cousins. To me, I'm taking it on its face and saying, let's say these receivers, this gang of guys gets together and goes, we don't like Kirk no more. We want something different here because it ain't great. I don't care what they think. I need that stressed so many thousands of times before any other conversation happens.
Nathan's in Haymarket. What's up, Nathan? How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? The one thing also about this is the timing is very interesting. I mean, you look at who's the main new guy there. Brian Quick's been active, so it's Terrell Pryor. But I don't want to put it on him. I think last week we had the report of, now we're out of the playoffs. It's finally time to sign Kirk Cousins or have him for one more year and let him walk. So I wonder if it's the front office maybe making calls, trying to paint a picture to make it an easier way to sell it that he's not wanted here.
The leaking beginning. It's as good a conspiracy as any. Honestly, this is around that time.
It's true. I mean, it could absolutely be higher than the receivers. Now, he did not say a receiver told me.
The receivers.
Now, again, Dan Patrick is not calling a Redskins wide receiver. There isn't a wide receiver on the team that's a big enough deal to even be a guest on his show, let alone for him to have a cell phone number of one of these guys. So if he's talking to someone directly, it's an agent probably, or it's someone in the building that's a high-ranking official, I would guess, about what the receivers think. I don't think that's the case. People are saying, why are you saying Dan Patrick's lying? I'm not saying Dan Patrick's lying. He heard this from someone.
Someone told him.
I'm saying whoever told Dan Patrick this either has a weird motive or I would question their information possibly. I think it's as simple as he could have talked to Marshall Faulk or someone else. By the way, I want to send you audio thumb that we could play next maybe because Marshall Faulk was interviewed by a couple of guys I just remembered in New York yesterday and one of them emailed my Gmail account with the audio of him reacting to Kirk reacting on our show.
Let's all react.
So we can play that audio. He's like, hey, Grant, I just wanted you to know that Marshall Faulk reacted to Cousins on your show if you want to play this. And I was like, I really don't. But we might as well now.
Yeah, I guarantee you it's come at me as a man. Don't subtweet
me or something. It's
no?
More I guess how I would summarize it.
I know what I know. I played this game.
He basically says if he wants to sit down and show me what route was run wrong by a receiver, that's fine. But until then, you played bad. When is he still saying that the interception that hit Jamison Crowder in the hands?
Keep in mind, that's the original statement.
No, he's still sticking with that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He's saying, if you want to show me that Crowder ran the wrong route, no one's saying that. He's saying that he's not saying, I'm saying, he hit Crowder directly in the hands. Keith in PG County, what's up?
Hey, man, y'all, I love y'all show. I love listening to y'all. But y'all are some homers, man. Y'all in love with Kirk Cousins. Not saying Kirk Cousins a bad quarterback. But you can't have the same wide receivers from last year crying about the issue, and now these wide receivers crying about the same issue. So
what are you referring to? Nobody's crying about anything this
what
year.
What makes me a homer when I said I care about what Deshaun Jackson and Pierre Garçon think, but I don't care about what this group who sucks think.
Not only that, he's saying that receivers are crying about issues. No one has cried about a single issue this year. What are you referring to?
Right. But I hear what you're saying, but the issues is you talking about wide receivers that not getting the ball. How you know what they can do when they don't get the ball? You saying about Terrell Pryor. Terrell Pryor had no quarterback over there in Cleveland and was getting the ball all the time.
Yeah, it's a different offense. They go from the outside in. The Redskins go from the inside out, and he dropped the ball every time it was thrown to him. But I want to go back to my question to you. You said last year receivers were saying things about Kirk Cousins, which never happened, by the way. There was one there was one report in week two that came out by Mike Florio that said that the Redskins, something along the lines of the Redskins aren't happy with the play of Kirk Cousins after two games. And it was based on the opinion of a receiver through an agent or something. That was the last thing I had ever heard. This year, not one person has said anything. So what are you referring to when you say last year they were unhappy and this year they're unhappy? Where is this coming from?
Because last year, if you recall, a couple of games, Garcon come off the field like he got about to have a fit that Kirk Cousins missed him on a couple of routes.
Absolutely.
Happens all the time.
Deshaun Jackson, what's going to really cap it off is we got two great receivers. Not saying Calvin Johnson and and Dez Bryant or whoever, the same two guys ain't even think about signing back with the Redskins because they didn't.
Because they got huge money elsewhere.
And they
weren't even
offered. They didn't even text Pierre Garçon.
Yes, if he's basing it on bad body language when Pierre Garçon, who's hot-blooded a couple times, came off and was mad after an incompletion interception, sure that happened.
You know, Garçon got mad at Peyton Manning back in the day. Garcon's going to get
mad. If you think that means he hates Kirk Cousins, I can't help you.
Yeah, watch Garçon this year. He'll get mad. He got mad at Colt McCoy. He'll get mad at the next quarterback that doesn't throw him the ball.
I'll take my conversations many times over, including when Robert Griffin was the starter, when Pierre Garçon told me behind the scenes he wanted Kirk Cousins to start over him. I'll take my conversations directly to Kirk Cousins, to Pierre Garçon, when he told me Cousins was the best guy in the organization. That Cousins was the guy he wanted on the field. I'll take those. Maybe you're right, though. Maybe his body language at one time after an interception against Dallas last year means he hated him.
What about under Collin, Garçon led the world in targets and completions? He threw temper tantrums then because he wanted the ball more.
Yeah.
That's what he does. He wants the football more.
By the way,
I give him credit because he's good. He produces. I care what he thinks.
If Kirk Cousins did the same thing every time one of his receivers dropped the ball, I guess we would just assume that he hates them. Does Eli Manning hate all Odell Beckham Jr. because he does the weird, you know, throw his fit thing every time he drops a pass? 800-636-1067 is the number. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 the Fan. Chris Russell just tweeted us. He said, maybe this is somewhat of an old take being exposed now, meaning someone, whether it was Falk or somebody else, talked to Pierre Garçon or Deshaun Jackson at some point. Obviously, Pierre publicly always advocated, including on Instagram, for Cousins getting a long-term deal. Deshaun Jackson this year has got 600 yards and 3 touchdowns. Last year had over 1,000 yards, so feels to me like he's missing Kirk Cousins a little bit and might like him more than he did then, but even still, my point is if Deshaun Jackson, who you're paying a lot of money, doesn't like a quarterback, it's not the first time he hasn't liked a quarterback, but that means more. If Pierre Garçon is a franchise building block and he says, this guy didn't throw me the ball enough, then you got to make an adjustment and get him to throw him the ball more. You got to listen to him. If the report, I'm not going to call it that, it's not a report. If the rumor being floated by the talk show host Dan Patrick is, his receivers don't like him very much, and he's referring to Ryan Grant, Maurice Harris, Jamison Crowder, and Josh Doctson, that doesn't mean anything to me.
My needle remains unmoved. If Ryan Kerrigan, if word comes out that a member of the linebacking corps is unhappy with defensive coordinator Greg Minuski, well, one guy has double-digit sacks or is on pace for it again. He is their best defensive player. What does Ryan Kerrigan think? I value that opinion. If a rookie linebacker who doesn't contribute or play is upset with Greg Minuski because he won't play me or whatever, pipe down, Ryan Anderson. Again, I'm not saying Ryan Anderson said something, but you get my point here.
Right.
You have no standing. That's a big deal. This is the thing I went back to when we decided not to talk about Lonzo Ball's father. The Supreme Court basically says, in order to get a case here, you got to have standing, which means you've got to be a part of our society, a contributing member. You can't just be running around suing people. You got to have standing. It's a legal thing. In order to have
standing,
you got to have standing. If you're a rookie that hasn't done diddly or squat, if you are a part of a unit that is inadequate and just at best below average, at worst a disgrace, frankly, how bad you are, you don't get an opinion on the matter. I don't care what you think. Hate Kirk Cousins all you want. You can hate the next guy you get to play for because your ass is getting cut.
This is what happens, by the way, when you're eliminated from the playoffs with a bunch of games left.
Every year.
Just stuff like this gets floated, some of it legitimate, some of it not. And people are saying, why do you think Dan Patrick's lying? I listen to the Dan Patrick Show, his podcast, every single day. It's the one podcast I listen to at home every single day. I love Dan Patrick. I'm not saying he's lying. I'm saying he talked to someone who I don't think is around the Redskins that much. That's what I think. I've been wrong a ton. It doesn't mean I lied. It means someone told me something that they wanted out there for a reason. You think Ian Rappaport makes up reports? No. He gets wrong information from time to time. That's the way that it works. So I think it's as simple as, honestly, probably talk to Marshall Faulk or someone who talked to DeSean Jackson that one time and said, yeah, man, receiver room, we're not that high on him. And so it comes out this week. That would be my guess as to what happened. By the way, speaking of Marshall Faulk, so this was sent to me from the producer of our guy, Imani Toomer's show, as a matter of fact. A guy named Sean who's real cool. He was at NBC Sports Radio, and the show is Going Deep with Imani Toomer and Dan Schwartzman, and they sat down with Marshall Faulk.
Chat with Marshall Faulk. Marshall, we were watching the broadcast. You and Steve Smith Sr. kind of harsh on Kirk Cousins to a point. He responded after that on his radio show. Did you think what he responded with was a satisfactory response to what you guys said?
I mean, in a sense, it's the Cowboys versus the Redskins, and we're at the game, and it's the only game on Thursday, so whatever we say, you know, we want ratings, but in reality, you know, you're making a lot of money, and you want to make more money, and I stand by my story. The Cowboys were they were bruised, they were battered, they were beaten physically, mentally, emotionally, and that was a great opportunity for the Washington Redskins to take care of them, knock them out of the playoffs. And if Kurt wants to sit down with me, Kurt, and tell me that the receiver ran a bad route or explain to me what happened beyond what my eyes saw, then I'm happy to have that conversation with him. But other than that, he played bad. And if you want, if I'm going to hang my hat on a franchise quarterback and give him franchise money, he has to be a franchise player, not just in the right place at the right time.
That's Marshall Faulk, as heard in an interview for NBC Sports Radio. I agree with 90% of what he said there in terms of the Cowboys being ripe for the pick and the Redskins needed to come out and beat them. There isn't a single person that knows football that would watch that game and say Kirk Cousins played badly.
It was just, you dug your trench and then you decided, I gotta stay in here.
He played bad. Laughter by the people he's interviewing. Whatever. I mean, that's fine. If you want to go down on that hill, you can. People that know football don't think very highly of the opinion and are laughing at you, but you're allowed to because there's enough people out there that are going, he's a homer. Don't worry about him, Marshall. Fine. Yeah. I got a tweet here from a guy named Beltway Boy Sports. Beltway Boy Sports. He says, why are you and Danny so protective of anything negative regarding Kirk Cousins? I'm a lifelong fan of the Washington Redskins, and I like Cousins, but you guys crush people with a different viewpoint. I hope this is obvious for the average fan out there. I want to say this real quick. We don't crush people that have a different viewpoint on Cousins. We crush silly, incorrect comments and or things that don't make sense. But the next time we crush someone who calls in and says, hey, Kirk Cousins is a pretty good quarterback who's not elite, then you tell me we're being homers. The next time we crush someone who says, hey, you can't afford to pay this guy $30 million a year. He's doing well, and he's going to be good somewhere else, but you can't pay him $30 million. Then tell me we're being homers if we get mad at that guy. I think you need to be reasonable. You need to have a reasonable stance. What we're crushing here is, one, the guy who has the inside information that I'm supposed to believe in when it comes to the quarterback isn't saying his name correctly six consecutive times in this report rumor that he's speculating. Six times he said Kurt. So my question would be, what do you want me to do when I hear this? I shouldn't call attention that he's saying his name wrong? Okay. I shouldn't say. I talk to people at Redskins Park all the time. Should I not use that information and that access to tell you my side of the story? Should we just say, here's what Dan Patrick said, we won't rebut this? I think that'd be a pretty boring radio show, and it wouldn't be using the information that we have.
Yeah, I answered this question on Chad's show because he gets this a lot, and I suppose the junkies get a cascade effect of it too. People think that we're protective of Kirk or whatever it is, or whatever, if we're in the tank, I guess that was the expression or the question that I answered. And I said, you know, I need that defined for me. In other words, can he do no wrong? That's what in the tank means, right? As I understand it. Am I in the tank for Kirk Cousins? No, I'm not. And I'll tell you why. That fumble that he had in that game where he was sacked, held onto the football too long, that can't happen. That was a bad play. See, I'm very capable of doing
that. We both did that.
It's too much to pay any football player $34 million in a season. They're making a mistake. Is that? Tell me when that's in the tank. I'm not just sitting here advocating for somebody. What I am is focusing on one part of this story where I keep going back to this, and I want to make sure that everyone understands. This is how you are not a homer. If there is a productive wide receiver, if someone was great here, who is a really good player, who's been good for a long time, is bitching about Kirk Cousins, I go, hey, we need to listen to this guy. Let's pay attention. Now, we can ultimately disagree, and we can decide there's a happy medium. I dismiss on its face criticism from people that aren't any good. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's what matters to me is, are you productive here? Are you doing things to help this team win? Are you a guy that could go anywhere else and start? Are we lucky to have you? Every one of these receivers right now that they've got, save Jamison Crowder, is replacement level or worse. If this is true, and I'm dealing with it as it is, right? Let's just say that it is true. Let's say that receiver room grouses and grumbles and is irritated all the time at Kirk Cousins. Every time they got to go into a meeting room, it's, yeah, I was open. I didn't get the ball. God, I hate number eight, even though that's the NFL, by the way. It's every receiver room. Tom Brady's receiver rooms are pissed off. Chris Hogan didn't get enough targets. Brandon Cooks is probably mad. He had a couple two-catch games. I don't care what guys that can't play think. You're lucky to be here. That's what I keep coming back to. Tell me what part of that is homerism for Kirk Cousins. That has nothing to do with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah,
right?
I got a pretty low bar. Say his name correctly. Admit that the guy's a good quarterback who's done a really good job here for a few seasons. And then let's have a conversation. If you can't do the other things, those are just prerequisites to the course. That's it. If you could say his name, there's four letters, it's one syllable, you got this. And you can admit that he's played well over the last three seasons as a starter. Everything else is on the table. I think we're pretty reasonable with how we handle it. Brent and Danny on the Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.